This swings us off into our Vent Stay segment. We'll go with the water situation and weed as one of our topics, and water more generally, and with the iPhone, Apple versus FBI situation as our other topic. This is Vent Stay. Join in, 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Emily will join me in just a few moments with results of this week's survey. So the water situation and weed provides a step into this week's Vent Stay. The city grew up using water from a source owned by a private company and leased it for 50 years. The 50 years are up this summer. No deal in place. Here in the West, there's a long history of fights over water and water sources, and we can even take the issue global, given the contention that access to fresh water is a human right, as the United Nations declared more than 5 years ago. Issues of water scarcity are more likely as population grows and water supplies do not. So here's your chance to vent. Who should own water? Let's bring in the Mount Shasta angle, too. Should any water source be tapped for commercial needs like bottled water if there are concerns about water for the community? Give us your own situation. You want a well? You want a city system? Something else? Do you ever worry about water? What ownership system do you think would be best to provide clean water to the most amount of people? Or are people beside the point? Should water be better going off to fish or to environmental values first? 800-838-3760 to take part in this and any Vent Stay. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Issue 2 has already been hotly debated for the last week and many other talk shows, but we thought you should get a chance to weigh in on the issue of the iPhone and the FBI. The phone belonged to Syed Farouk, the half of the husband and wife shooting team who killed 14 people in San Bernardino in December. The phone is encrypted, and too many attempts to hack the password will force it to destroy all the information in it. The FBI wants the Apple to get in. Apple does not want to defeat its own encryption, so it is not yet obeying a court order. So you be the judge. Should Apple have to provide decryption help to the FBI? Would your answer change if unlocking would affect just that phone rather than all iPhones? Balance privacy versus national security here, or tell us why it's a false dichotomy. Join us here on the Jefferson Exchange on Vent Stay, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. We have an email here from Mel in Mount Shasta, wants to know, what portion of Roseburg's water does Crystal Geyser have control over? This is a real wake-up call to not allowing Crystal Geyser to open in Mount Shasta without a full environmental impact report. Recently, the Economic Development Agency pulled a $3 million grant from the city of Mount Shasta, saying a full EIR, environmental impact report, is necessary, something the local community has been asking for more than 2 years now, with no political will to do so. Are the Board of Supervisors involved in weed running out of the water situation, and if so, how? That's a series of things from Mel in Mount Shasta. Thanks for that contact. You can join us on the exchange as well on Vent Stay. Water and the iPhone encryption situation are topics here. 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. Emily, welcome back to the microphone. And what did we turn up in our survey this week?
Oh, we turned up some interesting responses. Got folks from Ashland, Brookings, Harbor, Mount Shasta, Gold Beach, and Redding on this week's survey. Just over, I think, 23 responses last time I checked. That survey is actually still up on our Facebook page, Jefferson Exchange, so folks can log on there and take it, or check us out on Twitter at Jeff Exchange. I think we had a pretty not unanimous, but most people on the question of the FBI and the iPhone seem to say no. If you open the door on this one phone, it's opening a gate on something that they're not comfortable with. We did get a few yeses, people who said we should do it case by case. Or Susan in Harbor wrote in, yes, unlock the phone because it's an issue of national security. Hacking into private phones should be done on a case-by-case basis and not across the board.
All right, and we had a caller who just pointed out that one of the issues involved here is the ownership of the phone itself. The phone was not owned by Syed Farouk, but owned by San Bernardino County. It was his work cell phone.
That's right. Clarabel in Ashland was actually confused about that, why the county can't just say, okay, open the phone.
Yeah, it's interesting because nobody's around to know what the encryption is, I suppose. Let's take a call from Raven in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vent Stay.
Hey, Jeffrey. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Pretty good. So, yeah, I represent 74 homeowners that surround the Crystal Geyser Water Company here in Mount Shasta. And, you know, you asked the question, who should own the water? I think the problem we have is that we need to grow up regarding how we treat water and water extraction. The state of California still considers domestic use, agricultural use, and industrial use as beneficial uses of water in the state. The question is, you know, what do homeowners do when they are affected by industrial extraction of the aquifer, and how many people have to be affected before a company has to stop pumping or has to reduce their pumping? And here, you know, in California, you have to adjudicate water use, and it takes, you know, at least 10 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And, you know, regular citizens can't afford that. And, you know, our representatives say, well, just dig a deeper well. And in a volcanic aquifer, that's not actually something that works or is even possible in a lot of cases to reach a deeper water source.
That's a great point you brought up, though, Raven, the question of if the water source begins to get scarcer through drought or any other reason, what requirements are there on any industrial or large-scale user to scale back to make sure that there's more, that there's enough available for domestic uses in houses nearby, for example?
Right. Well, you know, you've heard of the Sustainability Groundwater Management Act, but that only really affects priority basins that are already probably past helping at this point. That law did not cover watershed areas, which is, you know, the places where the water comes from, where snow falls. So our area in the Sierra Nevadas really is uncovered. It's a loophole. And what you're going to see is more and more companies coming up here to take the water until our state, which is, you know, more slow moving, covers that. So right now, it's not against the law. Companies can come, they can buy a piece of property, and they can extract as much as they want. And that's why we're working so hard to try to get an environmental impact report up here, because we did have neighbors that had severe water quality issues when that plant was pumping.
The groundwater legislation you mentioned is actually the first in California history, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's always been a private water rights issue here in the state, and we've been really hesitant. People are hesitant to move forward and think about it in a more progressive way. But we're going to find out the hard way that, you know, water is really a public right. It's a piece of the commons, and the industries come in and they extract it for profit, and they pretend that they care about the community and they care about the neighbors, and they use all the right words, but their actions, you know, obviously are completely different. And that's what's so disappointing about this. And I asked the question to the mayor of Weed because, Crystal Geyser's attorney is working for both of those companies, and they are the same company. It's just that they pretend that they're separate. And so, you know, they're up here for the water, and by God, they're going to do what they have to do to get it. And so it falls on everyday citizens who spend a lot of their life force energy trying to stand up to these large corporations. And it takes hundreds of hours and donations, like $10 at a time, from people that, you know, are trying to help and support the fight. And then you've got these corporations that are worth, you know, millions or billions of dollars. So it's, you know, it's a tough fight.
All right. Thanks for that, Raven. Appreciate the thoughts. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Jeffrey Riley with Emily Curitan. This is Vents Day, your chance to vent on who should own water. Is the ownership water ownership concept itself a flawed way of thinking? Join us on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about this or about the Apple iPhone and terrorism controversy. 800-838-3760 on the phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Interesting crossing point here, the idea that Raven was just talking about the large corporations and the concern about corporations and their power over resources, in this case water. But then you've also got, with the other story, you've got a very large corporation, Apple, versus the FBI. And it really is an interesting power struggle to watch play out, Emily.
Right. And both kind of protecting things that we or debating over things that we consider to be fundamental. I think Raven's point about private water rights being a sort of de facto way of divvying up California is really interesting, because on our survey, one of the questions we asked people, we asked them first, who owns your drinking water source? And then we asked them, what kind of system of ownership do you think would best serve to keep your drinking water clean and accessible. And that was assuming that most people do see drinking water in particular as a human right. The UN agrees with as much. And, you know, we found that almost 70% of the people who answered the survey listed a public entity as the owner of the source of their drinking water. 20% said that they owned the source themselves. 10% didn't know. And 3% was other, which means there were no private entities in there. We didn't get any folks from Weed answering our survey, unfortunately. But yeah, there's definitely a tension there in terms of what the law says and how water rights work. And I think what I'm hearing from people who are concerned about as water grows scarcer and scarcer, you know, who will have control of it and will it be democratic?
You know, it gets into some interesting realms, too, because I noticed in the paper today, reading in the Mail Tribune in Medford this morning, this discussion of workshops to help people learn how to grow marijuana in Oregon, because one of the assumptions that people make is if there's water flowing past your property, you can just grab it and use it, which is not the case.
Right. Water does tend to go from upstream to downstream and connect everyone in between. So I've seen that be a huge issue in Northern California, and a lot of solutions thinking about it is to educate people about what stream diversions do and how you can do them with the minimal impact.
So let's get your thoughts on water and or the iPhone and FBI controversy. 800-838-3760 to take part in Vents Day by phone. Send your emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yeah, a little comment that I want to make, I've made before. When does water become water? Because all that we hear of precipitation, snow melt, and all that, as soon as it lands on, quote, property, whether it's government or private, then they start fighting about it. But water, that's not its origin. And on the iPhone thing, another question that I've been pondering to friends of mine my age, I said, if Ronald Reagan was president, I think he would have offered to fast-track it to the Supreme Court and forced somebody to offer the iPod company a little, you know, something for doing what they wanted to do. That's the problem. There's no, they're not being offered anything to do what they want them to do.
You mean like something monetary?
No, maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. The reason I say Ronald Reagan, because most of us know of his procedures way back in, you know, working with contracts in Hollywood and then as governor of California and everything, there was always a subtle back door on a negotiation to get things done. And mm-hmm. That's what I'm not hearing.
All right. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Jim. You know, it's interesting he uses the term back door, because that's the real issue here for a lot of people is if Apple is able to provide a way into this one phone, does that then mean it's going to be providing a back door for all iPhones? And is all your stuff then available to authorities upon demand, upon warrant, whatever? And people carry a lot of information in their phones. And I, as a quasi-Luddite myself, I'm a little slow to even get to things like the calendar. Just ask my dentist's office. Mm-hmm. I missed an appointment this week. But people carry everything in medical records and, you know, kids' report cards, all kinds of stuff in your phones, things that you really don't want to share with the rest of the world.
Right. It goes way beyond who you called and when you called them. I think... it's funny you say backdoor. We have a comment here from Chris in Ashland on our survey, our Facebook survey. He said, we asked him, should Apple help the FBI hack into the phone? He says, not by providing a backdoor. They did send advisors to help, but the government agencies had already altered the landscape of the phone's environment. That from Chris in Ashland. You know, interesting point about if they do this, how does that fit in with our current legal framework for privacy and the protection thereof? You know, right now, as it stands, like they're saying, the county, why can't the county just give them access? Would you still need a subpoena for the phone records? Really interesting questions raised there.
All right, let's take another call here. We have Bill driving a truck through Weed, he says. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just, you know, a lot of things we can learn from history. And if you look at the Owens Valley, which is Bishop, California, that whole area, that whole valley there, Los Angeles bought the water rights from the Indian tribe there back after the 1900s. And after 1900, and you know, now I was working irrigation over there. If you even have a piece of land, the people that own land there that were there before Los Angeles took over the water rights, okay, they have to pay like a water company. They have to pay to draw water out of the ground. And Crystal Geyser also has a huge plant over there. And I just say to the people up here, you know, and Weed and Mount Shasta and all of the mountain areas, you know, you've owned your land. You've always been able to go down and get water. And it starts with a big corporation like Crystal Geyser. And they're going to suck it out, suck it out, suck it out. But what's worse, what's going to happen is because of our water shortage, you're going to have the big cities, and they're going to come in, and they're going to pass a legislation, and they're going to grab the water rights. And all of a sudden, all these people that own this land and were able to dig a well and get water out of the ground, they're going to go, oh, no, no, you don't own the rights anymore. Exactly what they did in the Owens Valley 100 years ago. And they're going to say, nope, we own the water rights now. They're going to start pumping all that water down to the big cities, to San Francisco, Sacramento, to L.A. And so, you know, we need to stand up together, and we need to fight against big government coming in and grabbing, and big corporations coming in and grabbing the water. I mean, if you own the land, my feeling, my heartfelt feeling is you should be able to go down and get and access fresh water. So right. That's how I feel about it.
All right, Bill, thanks for joining the conversation. Very much appreciate that. A great historical reference there, though, to the Owens Valley water, where the farmers there just ended up without their water, without their water rights. The Owens Valley and the Owens Lake itself, a much drier place now because the city of Los Angeles under William Mulholland went in and grabbed it away. And this is actually portrayed in the movie Chinatown.
Yeah,
Hollis Mulray
being
the alternate universe version of William Mulholland.
Well, and that was an interesting point that he brought up. He used big government and big corporations almost interchangeably there on this question of which system of ownership best serves clean and accessible drinking water. On our survey, a number of people echoed this idea that they didn't trust the public's or the private sector to manage something like water. On the other hand, we had three or so comments here from people who brought up the crisis in Flint, Michigan, which related to really what appears to be a grave dereliction of duty by public entities when they switched the town's water supply from Lake Huron to the Flint River, which it's looking like officials knew wasn't up to snuff. A lawsuit pending there. But in regard to that, Pandora in Mount Shasta wrote, "I only have experience with my community in which the city is responsible for the quality of our water. I would say they do a good job, except for the half dozen letters we got in the last year telling us that the level of coliform was elevated and they could not detect the reason for the presence of the bacteria. They had theories, but nothing definitive. And up until the Flint, Michigan incidents, I would have said that the public entities best serve to keep drinking water without things like coliform and at its cleanest, but I no longer hold that belief. And without firsthand experience, I can't say which systems work best."
That's a little sad in the sense that a lot of people don't know who to trust anymore in a situation like that, where you had local government and a mixture of state government involved in Flint as well, saying, yeah, this is going to be fine. We'll do it this way. We'll save a lot of money a year. But the cost now, the human cost, is much greater.
Incalculable.
Rebecca in Eugene writes, "Where I live in the hills northwest of Fern Ridge Dam out of Eugene, there are quite a few people with well volume problems. Some people are installing big rainwater runoff collection systems. Some say this takes water away from its natural course, but others say it's just temporarily diverted and goes back into the ground. If this system was used in urban areas with way more roofs, maybe it would be more of a problem, but we're rural residential. I just wish people valued water and didn't waste so much. Don't know how to do that unless there's a crisis of some kind. Great topic." Oh, yeah, no corporations using water for profit, writes Rebecca in Eugene. This is Vents Day. Join us with your thoughts about water ownership and, for that matter, iPhone ownership. We're talking about that as our alternate topic today. 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Kyle, no town given, writes, "Who should own water? Us, the people, not a multinational corporation who, like Nestle, has proven their only interest is profit. The resources of our country should be managed for the public good, not for some corporation to extract, wrap in petroleum-based plastic and sell back to us for a profit. And privacy, how is this a question? Have the Snowden events been so quickly forgotten? The government is trying to set legal precedent. The NSA could access whatever information they want on that cell phone. The only reason this is being litigated is so the government has a back door and legal precedent to get whatever they want off anyone's phone. The trend for tech is more encryption, not less. Bulk data collection hasn't worked. Hacking one person's iPhone won't solve the systemic issues that contribute to the creation of terrorists. Where was the FBI's argument to hack the militia occupier's cell phones in eastern Oregon? Thanks for that from Kyle. More calls to take here. Let's go to David Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. David, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I've been living in Mount Shasta for 12 years now and a listener of JPR. I think it's great. Along with the water issue, I believe water is a public right, as the UN, along with our air. I think we need to emphasize that it's really coming home to roost in Ashland. I had read from the AshlandTidings.com that the drinking water fountains were shut down in the Ashland Plaza for the first time in 100 years due to barium contamination. I know I'm not the only citizen and visitor to the Ashland area, concerned citizen. I've been giving City Hall there for several years now very good evidence of where the barium's coming from. It's coming from the air, the geoengineering planes. We look out our window today, whether it's Mount Shasta or Ashland. I've been looking out the window ever since sunrise. We don't have a blue sky anymore. I encourage people to wake up, speak up, go to geoengineeringwatch.org.
All right. Thank you, David. Appreciate that. Rich in Grants Pass, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day. Rich, Grants Pass.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to make the comment. A lot of the one guy already made my point that you talked about earlier about it's not so much the back door. It's about the precedent that it sets because it's a global problem. You got other countries out there that are going to scream bloody murder that they have to have it, and it creates less security in the long run. So, you know, not only that, you're taking a company and you're putting it into servitude. You know, and that's unconstitutional in the first place. So, you know, I mean, that's just wrong.
Right.
And as far as the water goes, yeah, it should belong to the community, and there should be an impact report because when these companies show up, and they strip mine or they take all the resources and they leave their destruction behind, and it's not fair to the community that has to live there and suffer from what they're doing.
All right. Thanks for that, Rich. Appreciate that. Emily, we seem to have a fair number of fairly strong feelings about water in particular.
Oh, well, it is the most important thing, right? We only last a couple of days without it, and without clean water, we're all in pretty much a sad boat. On our survey, it's interesting you pointed out the irony here. We're asking two questions that relate to public-private management. And some of the discussion we're having now about water, I wonder, we don't seem to have this discussion as readily about, say, natural gas, coal, electricity, some of the other natural resources that have long been owned or controlled by large corporations, even, or the infrastructure at least controlled by large corporations. For the most part, people who answered our surveys really put a lot of stock in their government to protect a resource essential for survival, their drinking water. This one comes from Sarah in Ashland. She wrote, "I think that public entities, while not always perfect, are in general a better way to go. There are too many examples of private companies coming in and making water inaccessible. Something as critical as water should not be in the hands of people who have profit as their only motive." So, I mean, to say that private companies only have profit as a motive might be a stretch there. But because on the other side of the survey, we've got people asking Apple to step up and protect their privacy and kind of giving Apple the old pat on the back for launching this stand against the FBI.
That's an interesting part of this, to have the people talking about water not very fond of corporations, and the people talking about phones fairly fond of the Apple Corporation, even though it is large and very powerful, and certainly standing up thus far to the FBI. More thoughts on this, Vince Day. Let's go to Pam in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting us today. I wanted to circle back to an individual who just spoke about the E. coli and, you know, in Mount Shasta water and the water typically being good from the public service.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have a water quantity and a water quality problem around the globe. And we're just talking about here in California. I'm a former operator of water treatment systems and wastewater systems for 20 years in the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you right now, your public servants, the people who are tasked with making sure that the drinking water that you drink is safe and healthy and aesthetic and all of these things that the State Water or Department of Public Health wants it to be, are doing the best they can. The problem is we are running low on water supplies. We are dumping more and more contaminants. Some of them we don't even know yet what they are. The EPA calls them emerging contaminants of concern. This stuff is getting into your water systems. The public purveyor can't always protect the public from these things because we don't always know what they are. So I think what we're moving towards is for those who have public water as their source or private water, the consumer needs to become more educated and more involved in protecting their own health. And it basically means a second line of defense that the consumer will need to make sure that their water is indeed as potable as they say it's going to be.
How does a consumer do that beyond the assurances of what they're getting from the water provider?
Exactly. I am involved right now in trying to launch a startup company in Silicon Valley to develop systems where people will be able to capture their own rainwater, use it in their homes, use it for drinking water. We've been on this journey for about 3 or 4 years now. We're also trying to develop tools, measurement tools for the consumer in the home to test for certain contaminants. But getting away from that and what I do, what we need is a different paradigm. We need to think about water from a sustainable standpoint. We have been doing that, what they did in 1959.
All right. Pam, got to go. Thanks so much for that. Appreciate it. And thanks to everybody who participated. Another rousing Vince Day here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Emily Curitan.